بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله, we are so fortunate that we are blessed with the deen of Islam. Really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in this beautiful ayat that Allah ta'ala says, I chose for you. And imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses something for us, then how valuable is that? Because there can be no choice that is better for the creation than the choice of Allah. And so Allah ta'ala says, I chosen Deenul Islam for you. And in Deenul Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only said that I chose it, but more than that, he says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. And this was also said in the time of Hajj, that today, this day, I have completed your deen for you. And when we look at all these activities, all these acts of ibadat, all these acts of worship, when we begin to appreciate, when we start looking at the spiritual significance of it, just how valuable is our deen. The first important point in our deen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wanted to commemorate an action, when He found something so useful for mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't order us erect monuments, erect a statue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a living commemoration of that. So much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this act of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the best of ummats, of the best of creation, to continue this act. And the act was what? The act was this act of Qurban. Very often we lose the significance of the act, or sometimes we just don't focus on it. But just a little while, let us just contemplate what is this act of Qurban. And what was in it? And how did it come about? And many of us know the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. But when we understand really how significant is this, not only by way of following in the footsteps of our grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam, but also in understanding that the spirit of Ibrahim alayhi salam was absolute obedience. There was nothing that Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do, that he did either hesitantly, or that he did, that he was, you know, he questioned it. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, take your wife and infant child and leave them there in the middle of the desert. No questions asked. No why, no rationalization that around here there's nothing. There's absolute, that time Makkah was not Makkah. It was literally barren because there was no water there. None. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him. And immediately he knew that on the command of Allah there is khair. And this is the first lesson we need to extract out of Qurbani. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to something, then that is not for Allah ta'ala's benefit, for we can never ever benefit Allah. Allah is Samad. Allah is independent of His entire creation, and the entire creation is dependent on Allah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to perform salah, if the entire world became such muttaqi, such pious people, that they all perform salah, it would not change Allah's greatness one iota. The salah was for us, the fasting is for us, the Qurbani is for us. The lessons in there are for us. So in this is the first lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do, immediately and without hesitation, without rationalization. We live now in a world where everybody starts asking questions about why. You go to the doctor and then you ask the doctor, you know, the doctor says, take this antibiotic, and say, but why? And I Googled it. Google has become now a very profound source of knowledge for all of us. And the same with our deen knowledge. when we are commanded to do an act, then we begin to rationalize it, we begin to understand it with our small intellect, instead of saying that my Allah, who only desires good for me, has ordered me to do this. I should do it with willingness. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he told him, he says, Qul, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. That verily my salah, my sacrifice, my loving, my very loving and dying is only for Allah, who is the Lord of the world. In other words, everything we do should be for the sake of Allah. Every act of ours should be for the sake of Allah. So much so that what we call mundane acts, providing for our family, if it is for the pleasure of Allah, to the extent of a person putting that luqma, that one piece or morsel of food in his wife's mouth, whether he does it physically or whether it's by illusion that he provided the money for it, Allah Ta'ala rewards, gives him the reward of sadaqah, because his intention was Allah. So with everything, our intention should be solely for Allah. Then we come to the incident, and I'll say we know the history, but just to go and unpack it a little bit so that we understand the spiritual significance of this great, great act, and why our senior ulama encourage us that at least participate. If you are unable to do all your qurbani year or at your own hands, then at least do one so the spirit of qurbani is kept alive. Otherwise, like everything becoming virtual now, our qurbani also becomes virtual. We write out or send the money, make a EFT, and that's it, it's done. When we get involved in this and we begin to appreciate just what it takes to take the life of an animal, imagine when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded that you take the life of your own son. Your own son. And this is the same son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that you leave him there in Makkah Mukarrama, and he was worried about his survival, whether he survives or not, but he knew that Allah will never command him to something that will be of detriment. Outwardly to us it may seem detrimental, it may seem difficult, and one aspect of sabr is that to have sabr when we have to perform or fulfill the orders of Allah. So maybe it is ice cold, maybe it's raining and we don't wish to go out for Fajr Salah. At that time, that sabr Allah also rewards. One is the sabr, you know, sabr during times of difficulty. But another type of sabr is when we have to perform those acts which Allah Ta'ala commands us. And Allah rewards us for that. Maybe it was ice cold, we didn't want to get up in that time of the morning. But we got up, we made wudu. Allah Ta'ala rewards us. So in this act of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him that that very son that you had left there and he survived, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked after him and nourished him, and then Allah Ta'ala brought him up, and when he was, and how beautifully Allah Ta'ala described him, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَ السَّعْيَ, that at a time when he was able to like go with him, to run with him. In other words, he was a young boy, maybe 10 years, 12 years, different interpretations in the tafsir. But he was now a youngster. And at that age and in that time, a young boy was of value to a father because he would assist the father, he would help. There was a lot of manual labor on the farm. Now Allah Ta'ala says, at that time, when this boy, not when he was 3 years or 4 years old, still when he was of no value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam that come slaughter your son. And this is the second lesson, that to rationalize something, there was no logic in this. This was a command that sounded like totally almost na'udhu billah insane. Nobody benefited out of it. If Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had to slaughter his son Ismail, then he could not benefit from it, that you could, like an animal that you could eat from it. he would have compromised himself in that he would have lost what would have been a helping hand in later years. And more than that, for years and years, the father would have to carry the regret of having slaughtered his son. But when the order of Allah comes, then there is absolutely no rationalization. We don't think, and sometimes people rationalize, and the rationality is perfectly valid. So they say, if we're going to make qurban here, it's going to cost me X. I'd rather take that money and send food parcels, because people are more in need of food parcels. Perfectly logical. There is absolutely no fault in your logic. However, when it comes to the orders of Allah, we do not apply our logic to what Allah has commanded us to do. And many of times we come across where people start rationalizing, but why? But why? And similarly, when we ask, like sometimes, fatawa from Mufti Sahib, and you say, Mufti Sahib, what is, and he gives you a reason, this is haram. And the next question is, but why? And this is not how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was. He did not ask that, Allah, if I slaughter my son, I'm going to lose a helping hand. Secondly, what am I getting out of it? What are you getting out of it? We slaughter a sheep, maybe we can eat. So in our deen, there's no rationalization, because whatever, like a parent tells the child, do this. By brush your teeth every day, or, you know, wash like this every day. The child doesn't say, but why? If I brush my teeth just now, now in another few hours, again, I'm going to eat. So where's the logic of brushing the teeth? The father says, you won't understand it. Just do what I'm saying. Allah Ta'ala, with that same shafqat, with that same love, with that same kindness, Allah Ta'ala is saying, just do what I'm saying. Because in there is goodness upon goodness, in this world and in Akhirah. So anyway, he takes this youngster. And as I said, he was around 12 years old. And he tells him, and this is now the next lesson from here, that look at the tarbiyah that the mother and father made of this child, that when the suggestion was put to him that I should slaughter you, he did not say, my father, what has happened to you? What got into you? What possessed you to do this? Immediately what he said, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُونِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. His answer was so beautiful, it gives us all an understanding of how we should be. He said, oh my father, you do. Ifal ma tu'mar. You do what you've been ordered to do. And from my side, satajinuni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. He didn't say satajinuni min as-sabirin, that you will find me from among the patient. He said, only if my Allah gives me that sabr, then you will find me amongst the patient ones. Patient in what? Patient in that, in following the order of Allah, I will endure whatever difficulty descends upon me. Whatever I have to take on, whatever difficulty has to come to me, I will bear it patiently, and I will tolerate it, I will accept it wholeheartedly, without objection. And in some of the tafsir, it comes that with what difficulty and what how hard the two of them tried, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam puts his son down. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam then, imagine, do it to an animal and see if you have a little bit of softness in our heart, that mercy, that alone is hard. But here is a father putting his son down. And he tells his father, he says, my father, remove my kurta. Because when the blood splashes, and when you take my kurta back to my mother, it must not cause distress to my mother. What upbringing was this child brought up on? That first of all, he said, whatever order of Allah, that I obey. But more than that, how much concern he had for his mother, that, oh my mother, I don't want you to be distressed in the least. In following the order of Allah, we, in our disobedience of Allah, cause distress to our parents like we cannot imagine. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam is making every effort to slaughter his son, not once, not twice, and the knife is not cutting. And he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up saying that, you know what, this is not working. It's not supposed to be. It's sometimes when we are about to go out for salah, or we are about to do some act, give sadaqah, then the shaitan comes and he says, look, it's raining now. You're going to go out for salah, it's raining and it's cold, you're going to get sick. And then when you get sick, then you're going to cause this. And he gives all sorts of logic. And we listen to it. Shaitan came to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam also. And he also presented to him all the arguments. He came not only to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came to the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He came to young Ismail alayhi salam. And each time he told them, he said, do you know what Ibrahim is going to do alayhi salam? And they said, yeah, he's going to fulfill the order of Allah. And they broke the back of Shaitan to such an extent that eventually the only thing he could do to prevent this momentous act taking place was to stand as a barrier in Mina to prevent Ibrahim alayhi salam from going forward. It blocked the entire valley of Mina. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw this, he didn't say, oh, this is now, you know what, I just can't possibly do this. He was determination to fulfill the order of Allah is the next lesson for us. But when Allah gives us an order, sometimes we are tested. Sometimes it becomes difficult. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes we enjoy reading our Quran so much, you know, just flowing. And sometimes it's difficult. At that difficult time when we continue, then know that we are doing it for Allah and not for the enjoyment. At that time, immediately he turns to Allah and he says, Allah, the shaitan is blocking my path. What should I do with him? How do I get rid of him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, take some pebbles. Jibreel alayhi salam came and he said, take some pebbles, small ones, to show that you're not doing anything. I'm commanding you only to do this little act. You're not going to do the real work. You do this little bit. Take those small pebbles and throw. And when you throw, then Allah will remove the shaitan. The same way in our lives. When we're faced with obstacles in performing the orders of Allah. Or worse, when we're faced with temptations to disobey Allah, then seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. Those small stones that he threw, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala took that shaitan away. And finally, when he came to the place where he was about to slaughter his son, and he put him down and he tied him, and eventually the knife wouldn't cut. And finally, that young boy tells his father, so eager, that the order of Allah must be fulfilled. He says, turn me on my face, so that maybe while looking at my face, you're getting distress, you're not pressing hard enough. Allah was so happy with that act, so happy with that act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the malaika, when they're looking at the scene of father slaughtering his son, all the malaika saying, they like perplexed. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was demonstrating to them when he ordered all of them to make sijda to mankind, to make sijda to our grandfather, Adam alayhi salam, that this, when mankind comes into the obedience of Allah, then they are superior to every other kind of creation. Because here's a man slaughtering his son only on the command of Allah. No reason, no anything. And then we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, Allah ta'ala accepts this act. Allah ta'ala is happy with Ibrahim alayhi salam's effort. And he's happy with Ismail alayhi salam's patience. And he substitutes the sun with a ram. Jibreel alayhi salam brings a ram from Jannah and he says, thus, slaughter this. Your son is free. So slaughtered. Allah Ta'ala only wants us to see, wants to see our effort. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is not looking to make our life difficult. So in this Qurbani, there are so many lessons. There are so many things we need to take out. Our deen is not a deen that is lifeless. Our deen is not a deen of rituals. We do not do things mindlessly. We do not go around the Kaaba because that in there there's your significance. In Qurbani there's your significance. In everything there's great significance. We need to understand what Allah Ta'ala is looking for from us and bring our hearts into the act. Not only our hands, not only our eyes, not only our money, but our hearts have to be in this act. But Allah, you ordered me to sacrifice. And Allah, what else did you order me to sacrifice? You ordered me to sacrifice my sins. Allah, today I take one sin, and before you I put it, Allah, and I make sacrifice of that sin that I love so much, almost as much as my own son. I loved it, but today, Allah, for your sake, I'm going to make zabah, I'm going to make qurbani, I'm going to sacrifice the sin for your sake. Ya Allah, and when that blood spills, then you fulfill, you look after me and you support me. And when we do this, then see how happy Allah gets. When we sacrifice and for the sake of Allah, when we sacrifice those things which are in the disobedience of Allah. And this is what Qurbani is about. It is sacrifice. It comes, the word is Qurb. Qurbani comes from Qurb, is to draw closer to Allah. Actually, Arabic word is Udhiya. But we made it as Qurbani was to draw closer to Allah. How? By sacrificing our desires, our thoughts, our intelligence for whatever Allah Ta'ala ordered us to do. We ask that Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding and the significance of all these great acts. And at the end of it, at the end of it, it must be how when Hazrat Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam put up the Kaaba, in the order, in the manner that Allah Ta'ala wanted, in the description that Allah Ta'ala wanted, exactly as Allah wanted, and at the end they say, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim. Allah, you accept it from us. And that should be the same, that when we've made this qurban, we put it in front of Allah and say, Allah, please accept it from us. And if we do our acts like this, taking these lessons from qurban, then inshallah, inshallah, we are hopeful that we will achieve those ranks which Allah Ta'ala kept for the high ones. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.